Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, third hour. What's going on? Hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday around the country. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. And we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. Make sure you see rules and check it out. Enter for free today, rocketmortgagesquares.com. You know, Teague, let's get back to this coaching carousel, because here's what I find very interesting. And, you know, I'm starting to sift through this more thoroughly or more confidently,
yeah,
in terms of which candidates are beginning to emerge as the top candidates. I think we've gained a little clarity there. But before we even get into it, I want to bring something up. I think it's important. You know, I saw Jet fans on edge. Oh, Robson, you know, he left the building. Where's the contract? And it bothers me, too. But Arthur Smith has had a couple of second interviews as well.
Mm-hmm.
This coaching cycle is very different in the sense that the first interview was a Zoom session. All right?
Yeah.
So the second interview, in reality, is kind of like interview 1B.
Yeah,
it's not the same conventional path. So this might be protracted. Look, this might stretch out for a bit.
I think you're dead on with that, BT, because there's no way you can get a feel of how a guy interacts with other men.
Yeah.
Or women as well, because obviously head coaches deal with front offices, and there's women increasingly becoming executives in the front office. But there's no way you can determine how a guy actually interacts, how he moves, how he talks, all those things over a camera. You know, you can get to the bottom of, you know, the X's and O's, or what's your philosophy, or who are you going to hire as a staff. But I think NFL teams are getting smart about hiring head coaches finally, instead of doing it rashly, instead of like, oh, this is the hot candidate, let me just go get that guy.
Yep.
And maybe the pandemic and the fact that we're all Zoomed into everything, including us, because I haven't seen you in 11 months now.
March 13th.
Or D-Cell or Samter. Mm-hmm. You've gotten used to it, but it also gives you a reason to go slower. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not going to see somebody and that guy's going to say, if you let me leave here, then I'm going to go sign a deal with somewhere else. I think teams now have an excuse to say, well, we really need to get to know you. Can you come visit us? Which then takes, I don't know, a week, I mean, or maybe even longer to figure out a schedule to get a guy to come in the office, make sure don't have coronavirus, like all these protocols that the league has to follow. Mm-hmm. I think it's allowed this process to slow down. And that's a good thing, BT, because it often goes really fast and you have bad coaching hires, as we've seen over year over year over year.
Yeah, it has a tendency to get hasty because teams panic.
Mm-hmm.
One guy goes off the board. Now, outside of the Chargers, nobody had any real interest, at least that I'm aware of trying to lure Urban Meyer to their team.
Yeah.
So when the Jaguars started getting serious and the Chargers put in their overture, it's not like other teams had to react to that because they weren't in the market for Urban Meyer's services. But some of these other gentlemen, Rob Salah's interviewed 6 of the 7 openings, okay? Arthur Smith is in very high demand. Joe Brady is in high demand. What I think complicates this, and I think you raise a really good point about not being able to really detect the one characteristic that almost every one of these teams is looking for, like, and that is a tangible presence.
Yeah,
that you can't you can't really extrapolate that from Zoom. You might have a sense, but still, you got to shake somebody's hand. You got to see how they how they work the room, how they interact. You know, you just got to just think about is imperative.
Think about Joe Judge when he like first went into that interview. No, I mean nobody knew who he was. Mm-hmm. They knew he was a good special teams coach, and Bill Belichick had an affinity for him. That's why he gave him additional responsibilities in coaching the wide receivers in his last year up in New England. But I guarantee you, as soon as you walked into the room with Joe Judge, and I haven't done this yet, I'm actually looking forward to meeting him in person one of these days.
Me too.
Like, as soon as you walk in the room and meet him, you're like, dude, you're imposing, man.
Yep. And you want to play for the guy. You play hard for him.
He has a presence, and you want to play for him. That's exactly right. But you're not getting that over a Zoom call, right? He could have his camera high, and he looks small. You know what I mean? You don't know these things until you have in-person interviews.
Well, think about it. It hides flaws. And it minimizes strengths.
Yes.
If you really think about it.
Yes, that's right. Exactly right. And so I think this is deliberately slower, and I think it's a good thing because you're actually getting real evaluations. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is you know, hunky-dory and clean, and it also gives the candidates a lot more leverage than I think they probably used to have because it's easy to say, I got to jump on another call with whoever, you know.
That's true.
You know, it's not like I got to go meet with the Detroit Lions if you're in Philadelphia because that requires getting on a plane. You know, now you can say, look, I got a call with the Lions in 30 minutes. Can we wrap this up? You know, if it's not going the way that you want it, or you're not getting the right kind of negotiation.
That's true.
Not saying that's happening, but you know, theoretically, like anything could happen because everything is virtual these days.
Yep. Yeah. Now, the thing that I think is going to be interesting, once either, and this is just my guess, but I believe that, you know, Salah or Smith will be the next coach hired. Where I'm not exactly sure, but I think that's the next name or names off the board. And then if that happens, you know, somebody like Brian Daboll, who's coaching this weekend, somebody like Wink Martindale, who's coaching this weekend against Daboll. I mean, literally against Daboll. Eric Bieniemy, who's obviously coaching this weekend, coming up with the Chiefs. You know, I don't know. Brady's not coaching. I don't know what it does. Like, does it speed up the other timelines? Like, if you really like Daboll, or if you love Bieniemy, or you love Wink Martindale, but suddenly, within a day, it's Jaguars filled, Jets filled, and I'm just throwing, say Falcons filled, right?
Yeah.
And you've got four jobs left. Are you inclined to maybe take your B candidate, say if your B candidate's Joe Brady, rather than wait for a Daboll or a Bieniemy, because you don't want to risk having to get your C?
Yeah, that's option. That's why it usually goes so fast, BT.
Yeah.
Because they teams don't want to get left, and so it's probably not just any different than a draft. Think about the draft, like where you have, you know, your A guys and you have your B guys, and all of a sudden all your A guys are gone. You're like, oh crap, what am I gonna do? So now maybe you make a reach for one of your B guys because you just feel desperate. And I mean, that's why you get bad coaches, BT, because this happens so fast. I mean, I don't think that the NFL should put like a more deliberate time frame on this. Like they need to be able to do it at whatever pace they want to go at. But
yes,
it's all, but you know, you hear what I'm saying.
Like, but I know where you're going. Certainly
it's like almost unfair that it becomes a competition to interview guys who have limited time to be interviewed.
Yeah.
And so
it's like running a race and I'm giving you a half a mile head start.
That's
right. How the hell am I going to beat you?
That's right. You can't. And so, I mean, I almost feel like the NFL should delay this process, but they need to get, you know, a new head coach in, and then sometimes that's also with the general manager, and then they got to hire a staff, and it gets really crunched and tight. It's why you see a team like Washington last year, BT, who fired their coach early, and luckily they had identified, at least to them, who their candidate was going to be, and it was still going on, even though they won't admit to this, while the season was going on. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, like, they knew. They'd done their research.
Wasn't Ron Rivera in the booth, though? He was in the booth with I thought he was in the – I can remember. I feel like I have an image of Ron Rivera in a suite with Snyder.
Yes. Yes, during a game. I think you're right.
During a game.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's where the rumor started,
You think?
Right, of course. Yeah. And so, but it was, but my point was, it was during the regular season. But the circumstances allowed that to kind of have a thorough process on who they were going to hire. And it's why it's been, you know, a success early on. Other times it just happens so fast. You wait till Black Monday to fire your coach. Then you have, you know, maybe 2 weeks. And that's only if these guys are available that you want to interview. But a lot of the really good ones are still coaching because their teams are still playing. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes a truncated process. It's almost impossible to get a good read on who actually is going to fit your organization or is going to be a great leader of men.
I would almost guarantee that there's, and I don't even know who the team is. Maybe if I had to throw a dart at the board, maybe I'd say the Lions, maybe. I think there's got to be a team out there that's got Marvin Lewis as a safety valve.
Yeah.
Where they're like, okay, internally. Now, this might be a miscalculation or it might be a very smart play. We'll have to see how, you know, what happens. But you say internally, all right, we want this guy, whether that guy's, you know, again, Bienemy, Daboll, Wink Martindale, whomever's coaching this weekend. That would apply less to Brady and the other guys for sure. But the guy's coaching this weekend. And you say, you know, we're gonna push this thing back, and we want to focus on those guys. But we know that if we swing and miss with a Bienemy, and Bienemy takes this job, or Daboll takes this job, then we are comfortable hiring Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say Marvin Lewis would be good for Detroit, don't get me wrong, on some level he'd be good for the Jets too. It would inspire me. And I'm not saying Lion fans should be overly inspired by Lewis, even though he's a quality coach. And his record says that. And he's a grown man. And he's a leader. And he projects that daily. But there's certain teams that need an infusion of adult in the room.
Yeah, yeah. They can't afford to have like a 2-year or a 3-year and done guy who was horrible.
I can't see the Lions hiring Joe Brady. Like, to me, that would be, he's 31 years old. I mean, he's either a superstar or he flames out fast.
Yep.
I would go more toward the former. I like him.
Yeah.
But
he's never been a head coach.
That's a risk. And for a team like the Lions and even the Jets, who am I missing, that really can't quite take that risk.
Yeah.
The Eagles at the Super Bowl, they can, not that you want to embrace risk, but you have a little bit more rope, I think. What is the most, the Jaguars will have Myers, what is the situation that you look at where you say, this is the perfect match? Like, why wouldn't this happen? Well, any team, any coach, what do you like the best?
One that I look at a lot, and I don't know if anybody's ever has said it yet, and again, I'm going to keep falling back on Eric Bieniemy because I do think he's a good leader of men. And as much as I want Raheem Morris to get this job, I don't think he is. Eric Bieniemy to Atlanta, because they are going to have Matt Ryan for at least another year. Maybe they move on from him. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have Matt Ryan for another year. They're likely going to draft his replacement this season.
Mm-hmm. You have
at number four.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
And you have really good offensive talent, skill position wise.
Yeah, you do.
As long as Julio Jones keeps staying healthy, and even if he doesn't, there's still some young players.
Ridley's good. Gage is good.
They got some players.
Yep.
And their defense should be getting better, right? So it's just healthier. And if you bring in Eric Bieniemy there to, I don't know, ignite that offense, I think that team can turn around quickly. And I think, you know, a guy like Matt Ryan is like craving that. I think it's been one thing that's been frustrating for him is that it just feels like as good as they've been, there's always been something in the way. He needs something that, like, I don't know, galvanizes this team. And I think Eric Bieniemy could do that.
I'm less confident that he can do that. I'm not saying they can't do that, but that's a complete throw of the dart. I don't know. The only thing that I would question, and again, I'm hoping Eric gets a chance, but I don't know what kind of leader he is.
Well, you can only listen to what his team say, and they all say he's amazing.
Yes,
and
that's true.
He's engaged,
no, absolutely.
And Pat Mahomes gives him credit. And,
And
a lot of people will focus on the play calling stuff, as Gary Myers was alluding to. But that's nonsense. I mean, head coaches that call plays and do it successfully are very rare.
There's very few.
There's a few that are exceptional at it. Sean McVay is one.
Yep. And McCarthy used to be pretty good at that.
Yeah, but for whatever reason,
used to be. be pretty good at that.
Sean Payton is good at this as well. Yeah. Doug Peterson was, but not really, because it was also Frank Reich. It's very rare that a guy is the head coach and the play caller. Cliff Kingsbury.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It's a ton of responsibility. Cliff Kingsbury is trying it. Mm. They don't even have an offensive coordinator by title. It's just him. Yeah. And so I think there's been varying degrees of success with that for a young head coach and a primary play caller.
You know what complicates the Falcons situation? And I'm not saying that I'm averse to taking a quarterback at four. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when we constructed our list, and I think I had 17 or 18 teams on that list of teams that, at the very least, you know, on a very rudimentary level, need to investigate changing their quarterback dynamic. And, you know, based on the finances and based on the age, Matt Ryan was on that list. Granted, a lot closer to 17 or 18 than he was one, but he was on the list for me. The only thing that I would worry about, like, say if you bring in Eric, or say if you hire Joe Brady, say if you hire an offensive guy.
Okay.
Now, let's say it's Bieniemy, because we're all rooting for him to get a shot. Let's say Bieniemy gets that job. And he does what, you know, a lot of us think he could do, and Matt Ryan absolutely crushes it, which is not that unrealistic.
No.
Right?
He's not that far removed from being an MVP, man.
part of my reasoning. Did you kind of waste a pick at number four?
Yeah, maybe, but that's
I don't know if I'd want to take a quarterback under that situation.
But it's eventually going to happen.
Not if Matt Ryan could play 3-4 more years.
True.
I might have to go best available. I don't know if I can take it.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you wait. Maybe you wait and take Mac Jones in the second round.
Maybe I think Mac Jones is going to go in the first round.
He might.
Late. First.
I don't see if we were doing mocks, which I don't know if we'll do it again next year, but I'm probably going to have Mac Jones not falling past New England at 15.
I think the Pats are 15.
Yeah.
Sound about right? All right. All things to chew on. Carousels picking up a little steam. Urban sitting there probably smoking a $200 cigar saying, suck his head. Look at this, man. Look what I got. I got Lawrence coming. I got first round picks up the wazoo. I got $75 million in free agent cap space. I mean, I'm 80 miles from where I dominated with the Gators. Look at me. I'm Urban Meyer, and you're not. That's what Urban Meyer is saying right now. And as a result, you know, other teams will start to, you know, get those wheels in motion. Again, my prediction is that I don't know where they're going to wind up. I think Salah and Arthur Smith wind up getting – they're next in line to get hired, but you never know. And this is wildly unpredictable. Zoom throws a curveball in there. And, you know, now that we know that, like, somebody like Campbell from Iowa State, Harbaugh, they're staying put, the waters are less muddy, but still not exactly clear. So this is going to take a week or so to sort out. So obviously we'll take care of it here on the show, and we'll follow all of it for you. Coming up, Rick Bucher, talk about NBA. Buke, piped in. Opinionated, sometimes a little long-winded, but so am I, so I could relate to it. I get it. We'll get Buke up next, and we'll hammer home the Nets stuff and the protocol stuff with COVID. Rick Bucher next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully everybody's having a good Thursday. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney, all the content. Make sure you check it out. Click the bell, subscribe. New stuff drops, all the content. It'll get right to you. All right, Teek, let's chat with a gentleman who's piped in. We've had him on the show a lot. One of my old partners back in the day in the Bay Area. All around good guy. Great hair. A little vain. He is. He's a little vain. And he's a little long-winded like me. But I do like him a lot. He's very good at his job. Talking about my buddy Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report senior NBA analyst. Buke, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
No lies told, BT. I wish I could say there was, but nope. You pretty much nailed it all the way down the line.
Yeah, if this was social media, we'd see a little gif. It says, no lies detected, and somebody like hitting that little button. So we're on the same page. Good to have you, man. There's obviously a lot of things we want to jump into. So let's at least from, you know, on the most, I don't know, exploratory level, what you think the short-term future is of Kyrie Irving. Like, let's start – before he could get into the whole dynamic of the three stars in Brooklyn, we need to get a sense of whether or not one of the stars is coming back and even wants to play basketball. What do you anticipate from Kyrie Irving in the next week or so?
Well, a lot of this has to do with the league's investigation into COVID-19 violations and the protocol, and that is a serious issue. There's two parts here. There is Kyrie Irving trying to make himself relevant and a figure outside of basketball, which has informed some of his decisions and what he's been doing for years now, actually. And then there is the violation of league rules when it comes to protocol. I would expect that Kyrie Irving is going to come back and play once he is able to play. He's not going to be Zooming any more politicians or people that are running for office.
Yeah.
At the same, but there's the league, which is going to hold him out until he passes their protocol for COVID. And so that to me is the big stumbling block. And with the league suddenly putting all of that under a microscope and trying to get their arms around that issue, that's the prevailing problem that faces Kyrie Irving right now.
Yeah. Do you think he wants to play though? Do you think he's, contemplating not doing this anymore?
No, I don't. It's a fair question. And I've often thought how badly does he want to play? And it's been put out there that he should retire. You don't become as good at the game as Kyrie Irving is unless on some level you love the game. You have a certain passion for it. And the way that he plays, I believe that he still loves the game and still loves playing the game. It's simply that he wants to be seen as more than just a basketball player. And he has not done a very good job of going about that. And he's undermined the platform that gives him the opportunity to be a figure and a force outside of basketball. And that's the problem that he faces.
You nailed it. I mean, that is a great encapsulation of what has become a very ugly look for the NBA. Listen, Sean Marks has finally gotten around to speaking. I'm not saying that you get up there and you divulge state secrets, but when you don't say anything for 4 days and you keep trotting out a rookie head coach to take these bullets, I thought that was weak. Listen, I don't know. I really have no idea if you agree with this sentiment, but I am curious where you go with this. I said on the show yesterday, and by the way, we're talking to Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report senior NBA analyst, one of the good ones in the game. I said, listen, I like him, but I got to criticize the commissioner a little bit here. Now, people hear what they want to hear, so I want to preface it with this is not about empowering the players in terms of social justice or using platforms for reform. I'm not talking about that. But in the span of a couple of days, when you have one player AWOL, not a peep, another one of the top five or six players in the game, just so visibly and forcefully put his team in a position where he's got to be dealt. Like, I'm not saying you go back to being David Stern, but I do think that there's somewhere in between where Adam Silver needs to tighten up the NBA ship. It is a bad look right now. They are hemorrhaging money, not his fault, but perceptually, the NBA's in the tank right now. And I don't mean from people who love it like us. I mean people who could either take it or leave it, who ultimately decide if the NBA flourishes or not. What do you think about that, Rick?
Part in all of that is that the attraction and the NBA's ability to capture more of the sports landscape than it ever has before has been based on these very transactions and the mobility of players. And so I also know this, the capacity to forgive bad behavior knows no limit. I mean, think about this. We can say all we want about it's a bad look for James Harden to do what he did and do it the way that he did it. But we had Carmelo Anthony do the same thing in a way to get to the New York Knicks.
No, it wasn't that brazen. Oh. Hold on, Rick. He was not that brazen about it. No, I got to disagree. He did not look into a camera and say the Denver Nuggets stink. He did not do that, Rick.
Okay, but James Harden wasn't that brazen initially either. He first made his statement before the season started. And my understanding is he was given assurances. Okay, well, we're going to move you. We will acquiesce. And so he comes out. Yeah, you had the issues in terms of showing up when it came to training camp. But you look at how he played when the season started. He was as good or better as we've ever seen him as a scorer. Mm-hmm. He was playing hard, and he was at the top of his game. Then he sprained his ankle. He missed a game, and he wasn't the same after that. Mm-hmm. And then we got to the point where he simply said, look, this isn't working. I need out. And the fact of the matter is he was rewarded for doing that. So if you are trying to convince players that they should be good soldiers and eventually they will be rewarded, James Harden was a good soldier in that over the summer, the same time Russell Westbrook made his point, he said, look, I don't want to be here anymore. Let's do something. And my thought was, you need to move him now because you're not going to change his mind. Yep. It's not going to get appreciably better. So I look at this, and if you want to say that the league is doing this to themselves, I would 100% agree with you.
Okay.
If you're saying that players shouldn't do this,
no, I'm not necessarily saying. I'm not necessarily
saying
that.
They've been rewarded for doing it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's interesting.
Let's not forget.
I got you.
Anthony AD did the same thing. Anthony yep. Davis did, and he was rewarded with a not only move, but he's got a championship now.
So did Kawhi Leonard.
To his name. So did Kawhi Leonard, even though Kawhi was kind of. This was a little bit different from what he did.
So here's the one distinction.
What's that?
If you look at all of the times that players have not only wanted out, but dictated where they wanted to go, it by and large has not worked out. Anthony Davis is the first example of it working out.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard wanted out of San Antonio, but he didn't want to go to Toronto.
No, they shipped him somewhere where they thought he would just kind of wallow for a year. He messed around and won a championship.
Yeah, yeah, and they got pieces back that they thought were like, you know, I mean, look, well, you like it or not, DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl have been solid found pieces in San Antonio. And mm-hmm. under duress, they got pieces back that they liked. Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Indiana got pieces back that ultimately have worked out well for them. So,
true.
The flaw is, I don't have a problem with stars wanting to move, but we've seen time and again they don't know what's best for them. And this is another example.
Yeah.
Like James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, it looks good. A lot of people are excited. No GM. This is the real. This is the crux of it. This is the catch 22. Is that if you're Sean Marks, are you going to say no to James Harden wanting to come play for your team? Are you going to say no to KD and Kyrie as free agents saying we want to come play for the Brooklyn Nets of all teams? No, you can't say no to that. But if you ask him in his heart of hearts, does he think as a GM, this isn't how I would build a team? Hell no, this is not how Sean Marks would build a team.
No, especially with all that money that they're owed. One quick question outside of you know, this player movement stuff, and it really is around what's encapsulated or at least taken over this country in COVID-19. Is there real danger for a stoppage? We've seen a lot of canceled games, and it feels like, or postponed, I should say, games. What's the danger here?
Well, that's why they didn't schedule the second half of the season, is because they knew that they were going to have a degree of built-in flexibility. And I just believe that with the amount of money that's being hemorrhaged simply because you can't get people into a building to watch and all of the ancillary money that's made off of that, they can't afford to have a stoppage. They're going to find a way to keep this train moving. And I, you know, the latest of the extreme measures of like no dapping up opponents before games and all that. I mean, just
come on.
Like, it gives you a sense of how grave and how important it is that the train keeps rolling.
Yeah.
But the measures that they're taking are just silly. I come on. I mean, you can't dap him up before the game, but then I got to body him up in the game while I'm breathing harder than ever. Like, what are we talking about here? The fact of the matter is you need to have the flexibility knowing that you're going to have to postpone games. Keep in mind, in Europe, they have been doing this routinely in the European leagues for months. They started back in the fall and they would just, and they would have outbreaks, and they would just reschedule games. Now, the vehicle in which, you know, the leagues operate over in Europe aren't quite as extensive as they are here, but look, they have the ability to get in the buildings every time, anytime they want, because nobody else is using them, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you can reschedule, you can postpone, you can keep doing this. You know, I would see at the most severe, it would be, you know what, we can't play, we can't get 72 in on our timeline, so we're going to play 62 instead. But mm-hmm. that, to me, would be the only measure that they would take in light of everything that's going on.
It's an interesting point about the buildings. No conventions, no concerts. The circus isn't rolling through. The NCAA's not stopping by. You're right. So that is, I didn't even really think of it that way. But it's a pretty basic point, but it's one that hasn't been brought up a ton. So they do have a little built-in, maybe even more flexibility than we thought. Buke, good chatting, buddy. Happy New Year. I probably should have said that at the top, and we're just about at that point where I'm not going to say Happy New Year anymore to anybody, but I wanted to say it to you. Good chat, man, and good having you back on the show, Buke. Thanks, buddy.
Always fun to be with you guys.
There you go. Bleacher Report senior NBA analyst. Axe update. Tiki and I will come back. We'll get you with the blast. Here is the Axe man. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. You know, Tiki, I was just reading an article on CBSSports.com during the break where the Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta did not want, actually, matter of fact, he refused to send James Harden to Daryl Morey in Philadelphia.
Hmm.
Personal grievances getting in the way here.
Yeah, man.
And now with the news that emerged that Victor, not a stunning development, and it could possibly change, that Victor Oladipo wants no part of Houston long term. He's going to bounce once his contract's up after this year. To me, all the first round picks are great, and you and I disagree a little bit on the ceiling of the direction of Ben Simmons' career. But if Tillman turned down a better deal, and I've always subscribed to this, if you turn down a better deal just to spite your enemy,
yep,
it's bad business.
Yeah, you're cutting your own nose off, right? Spite your face.
You could be.
That's not good business.
No, I want to know exactly, and I didn't see it in the article, exactly what the 76ers were willing to part with in addition to Ben Simmons. But if it's Ben Simmons, and even if it's only, well, they're going to be very good for a while. So, you know, even if it's like one or two protected ones, that could change how I view the trade. But anyway, that was pretty interesting. Just saw that. You ready for the blast? See what we got?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right there, partner. We mentioned this earlier in the show. The Eagles have reportedly requested permission to interview Dallas OC Kellen Moore for their head coaching vacancy. Do the Eagles need a quarterback whisperer for Wentz and Hurts?
I think the Eagles need a communicator first and foremost.
Well said. Well said.
I think both of these quarterbacks have good skills. They're different skills, obviously. Jalen Hurts needs a lot of development, especially in pass game and things of that nature. But I think they both have – I don't know if they necessarily need, like, a quarterback whisperer. I think they need someone who communicates well with them and then a good quarterback coach and a play caller who puts him in position. I don't trust Kellen Moore being that guy, by
the
way.
Me neither. Not in that city.
No.
I mean, you got to have some experience, man.
He'd get eaten alive unless he's elite right away, and there's no way to predict that.
That's true.
Maybe, I guess, because Boise wanted him as head coach, they maybe have some intel that we don't necessarily know about, but I agree. That's one of those.
Yeah. And by the way, what I'm about to say is not to disparage Boise, but Boise's not exactly Alabama.
No, it's a good point.
I mean, when you
say
Boise State wanted Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore played at Boise State.
Good point.
I mean, so there, again, good, very good job, very good program, but it's, you know, a little perspective. No, I think you're right. I don't think they need a quarterback whisperer. They need a communicator. They need somebody that is not afraid to make a decision and stand by it. What I find interesting is that Peterson reportedly wanted Hurts.
Yeah,
and
I do. Me too.
You saw that, and Jeffrey Lurie wanted Carson Wentz, and obviously the owner's going to get his wish. So, if that's true, in the world did he pull Jalen Hurts against Washington?
What did I read? I couldn't remember if Hurts. No, Jeffrey Lurie said he had no idea that was going to happen.
No, I understand that, but if Peterson is a Hurts guy, as per the report, why would you pull Hurts?
draft pick. It was all about the draft pick.
It's okay, I got you.
Mattered. Okay. The only thing that mattered. But gotcha. I heard that report as well about Peterson actually liking Hurts. But
yeah.
I mean, I can understand why Jeffrey Lurie wanted Carson Wentz to figure it out. You just paid him $128 million.
I agree with that. I do agree. Giannis Antetokounmpo tallied his 20th career triple-double last night. Hey, listen, Santa and I were slacking about this. Triple-doubles, again, Giannis, back-to-back MVPs, he's great. The triple-double doesn't move me at all anymore. It just doesn't.
No, I mean,
but he got one last night. And the Bucks are playing well. They beat the Pistons, who are not playing well. 9-point win, 110-101. Have the Bucks made enough additions this offseason to give Giannis the cast he needs to win a title? No, but they tried. Mm-hmm. They tried to bring in Bogdanovich, and they also didn't do it properly, and that was rescinded. So I just, you know, and I hate that I always say this, and so far I've been right, and I wouldn't mind being wrong, but because we're on in Milwaukee, and it's a great sports town, and Giannis is a hell of a player, and I got a lot of respect for that organization, but especially if Kyrie Irving has any interest in playing basketball again, you're not beating them, I don't think. I think that the Bucks are going to fall short. I do not think they'll win the championship this year, and I do not think that they got Giannis the requisite help that he obviously needed.
I was trying to think, BT, what do they need? Like, what would help them significantly? Because, I mean, Giannis isn't going to all of a sudden turn into a, you know, KD-type range shooter.
James Harden would have been nice. Why don't you get in on that conversation?
Yeah, like an elite scorer.
Yeah. Because Giannis is not a reliable shooter.
Yeah, another elite scorer. He's not. You know, free throws and even from three-point range that we've talked about. He's worked on it, but he's not nearly the guy that, you know, can dominate from that area of the court, and especially in the postseason.
No.
So, yeah, I think I would tend to agree with you.
Okay. Hey, Santa, do me a favor. I'll check after we finish this up. Can you please check? I don't know what it's through 12 games off the top of my head. What is Giannis shooting from the stripe, and what is he shooting from the free throw line so far this season? Small sample, just curious. All right, KP, Kristaps Porzingis made his season debut. He had 16 points. He was plus one last night in the plus-minus ratio. They beat the Hornets. What are our expectations for Dallas if KP can stay healthy?
Oh, I mean, they should be competing to get into the Western Conference Finals, BT. I mean, Doncic is just ridiculous, as we've known for the last couple of years. But if KP, who until you, like, really think about it, he's had a ton of injuries, man.
No, he definitely has.
I don't think about it often, but he's always hurt. And
pretty much.
It's just... So that makes me almost not want to trust him, not because he's a bad player, but because he's not going to be available. Mm-hmm. And if he's not there, it's so significantly harder because if Doncic has an off day, which isn't frequent, but if he does, I think Kristaps is the kind of player that could easily pick up the slack and have like a 40-point day.
Absolutely.
But he's got to stay available. And for a 7-plus footer to have these constant injuries, that you start to worry a little bit.
For sure. I mean, I love Doncic. And, man, I loved Porzingis. You know that. I was in love with the guy from a basketball point of view. Like, he broke my heart. But because he was like, whatever. I mean, I loved him with the Knicks. And I don't like the way he forced his exit, whatever. But I do want to see him stay healthy because I think that there's incredible talents that I want to see realized. At the end of the day, you know, I root for sport and I root for humanity. He's not a criminal. He just didn't want to play for the Knicks. So you got to move on. And I'd like to see this duo thrive the way I think that they can. Hardaway's become, last couple of years, a player that is very... very worthy of that, you know, third or fourth spot on the team. Willie Cauley-Stein's a good defender. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Kings drafted him. Obviously, they overreached there, but he's a good defender. Yeah. They need another player. If they don't put it this way, and I love Doncic. You know that. I don't know if they're getting to the conference finals. They better win a round. Anything short of a minimal, like a one round advancement, would be horrendous underachievement. I could see him losing a round two. They need another player. They really do. A little baseball here. Reportedly, the Padres, and Fernando Tatis have begun preliminary discussions on an extension that could be along the lines of 11 years and 320. Mm. Would it be a mistake for the Padres? No, this would not be a mistake for the San Diego Padres. See, part of the problem when you give out these huge deals, like, you know, even the Marlins with Stanton, and even forget about the injury aspect, right? Even A-Rod a couple of different times. When you give out that, even Bryce Harper, that length of contract, you're paying for past performance. And I could deal with the average annual value. That's one thing. But when you give out the years and a guy's like 29 years old and he's getting 9 years, even Mookie Betts is going to be an issue at the end of that deal.
Yeah, but so he won a championship, so it pays for
it. No doubt. And he's great. And he can move to left field or right field when he loses the speed. I'm not saying it's a bad move. Great move. Mookie Betts is a great player. But this is the time to do it. I would think that this would be brilliant business because you probably save 30 or 40% on a contract if you do it in 4 years.
Yeah, no, by the way, and I don't have anything else to add other than this is the trend. This is becoming the trend in baseball. You're not seeing, all right, we're going to force you into arbitration. Now we're going to force you back into arbitration. Oh, you're going to force you again into arbitration. It's, all right, dude, we like you. We're going to pay you. You might lose a couple, you know, tens of millions on the back end. But you know what? You're going to get paid and be taken care of right now.
Yeah.
I think it's a smart way to do it.
It is. It truly is. By the way, Giannis from the Stripe, 61.8%. Thank you, Mike.
Ugh.
From downtown, sub 30%.
The freebies.
I mean, come on.
I mean, 41.
You've been around 8 years now. You got to learn how to shoot. All right. So the 2021 NHL season debuted last night. 5 games were on the books. Should the NHL look into having a staggered start date to their season from the NBA, maybe get a little separation, kind of isolate, elevate?
No, I
should
don't
they
think
do that
so.
Moving
nah,
forward?
I don't think so, BT. I think, you know, hockey fans are they're hockey fans first. Like if you're a real hockey fan, you're a hockey fan first.
Yep.
You'll find your way into the other sports. So I don't think so. I think it's fine the way it is.
Totally agree. There's no need to mess it up because the diehard hockey fans, which are the ones that will be there, you know, on opening night, whether you can play opening night in July, that they'll mm-hmm. be there, obviously. But I don't see the benefit to this. Now, if it's some sort of, you know, preserving the body, if there's something that somebody could present to me that's not just, well, let's not have it open around the same time as the NBA so we can get more eyeballs, to me that's faulty because it's not happening. And this isn't, you know, bang on the NHL segment. It's a great sport. It might be the hardest sport to perfect when you're actually on a blade moving and you got beast trying to crush you and control the puck. Are you kidding me? But if you don't like the NHL, you'll probably never like the NHL unless a team moves to your market and then you start to get introduced to that.
I love
the NBA or hockey.
Yeah, like Vegas. Like the Knights.
Yeah, yeah. Columbus. There's been a few other ones for sure. T, good show, buddy. Tomorrow, all football. Looking forward to it, bud.
Likewise. You good, brother.
Thank you, man. Right back to you, everybody. Have a great Thursday. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.